ABC Radio.
Brisbane.
Raised in Brisbane.
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 Vegas.
River City.
Say it again.
ABC Radio Brisbane.
7 past 6. Have you given up on public transport? I still use it. I haven't. Sometimes I don't because if I can't get a park near the park and ride, well, I don't. I tend to drive in. The bus is usually pretty good though. Sometimes I miss it, but that's usually my fault. According to my next guest, you haven't been catching the bus or ferry as much as you used to. Bus and ferry patronage has dropped 6% in a 5-year period. Train patronage, however, is up just slightly. Robert Dowers from the transport lobby group Rail Back on Track. Hi, Robert.
Good evening, Kelly.
You put in a Freedom of Information request and found while the population grew by almost 6% between 2012 and 2016, what happened to public transport patronage?
Yeah, it sort of remained static and went backwards, really. As you mentioned, bus and ferry patronage dropped 6% over that period, which was from July 2012 through to June 17. Rail actually gained 2% patronage, but when you take into account the population increase, the public transport's actually going backwards. Now, we put the RTI in because we wanted specific detail on station entries or trips, and the actual patronage being carried on the various bus and ferry routes. Now, we were successful in that application, and we did some analysis over the weekend, and we got some pretty interesting results.
What did you find?
Well, the line that had the highest patronage growth over the 5-year period was actually the Doomben line. Now, that's really quite surprising. It certainly surprised us a lot.
Yeah.
The Doomben line is a line that's not liked particularly in terms of good service. It has poor frequency. It only runs 6 days a week. It doesn't operate on Sundays. And yet, it still managed to show 23% patronage growth over that period. That's pretty impressive. And I think it's a sign that more can be done for that line.
Yeah. Well, I suppose now they've got all those towers that have gone up near the river. So you've probably got a lot more people, you know, going to that station. It's a wonder they haven't actually been screaming for Sunday services.
Yeah, I think it's something that TransLink and the government need to look at based on that. Okay, it's coming off a small base, but still it's very significant because the next line in terms of growth was Springfield. Now, we know Springfield's growing fairly well. It showed a 14% growth over the years 14, 15 to 16, 17. It only opened in the year 13, 14. So we only looked at the 2 years where it's been operating throughout the entire year, and that showed a growth of 14.1%. Now, that's good. You mentioned problems with park and ride. There's enormous problems at Springfield Central with park and ride, and when you're getting a strong patronage growth, it's no wonder that we do have those problems. The other lines to show growth, the line from Dutton Park through to Ben Lee showed 6.5% increase. Gold Coast, from Ulmo through the Varsity Lakes, 4.3. And in fact, the Gold Coast is actually looking pretty good. The light rail showed an increase of 27% over that period, and it's also driven increases in the bus patronage. Now, TransLink did a bus network review when the light rail opened, of course, and that's been pretty successful. In fact, the Gold Coast is one of the success areas of public transport in Queensland. There's no doubt about that.
What do you think that is?
Well, they've invested a lot. The light rail, for a start, they've done a good bus network reform process, and the heavy rail has been brought up to speed with the recent duplication between Coomera and Helensvale. So there's been a bit of investment there, and investment will drive results, obviously. They've got frequency, and other areas of South-East Queensland have not been given those sort of treatments. For example, out west, the Ipswich-Rosewood line dropped 18% in patronage over that period. Now, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's a big drop.
And also, the bus network collapsed. When railfail happened that period, that year, the bus patronage dropped 10%. Now, when you move out from inner Brisbane to the outer reaches of South-East Queensland, the bus network is very important to feed railway stations. If the bus network is dropping 10% patronage, it's a little surprise that the rail patronage is crashing as well. So that's a sign that the Western Bus, the Ipswich area particularly, needs improvement. It needs improvement in the timings of the buses, the frequency and the span.
Robert Dowd, the state government says that the data you've got is more than 12 months old. What's your response to that?
Well, when we applied for the data through the right to information process, it was early July. The data wouldn't have been available for 17-18 anyway. And in fact, we're glad that we looked at this as discrete from year 17-18, because 17-18 is going to show a fairly inflated passion is due to the Commonwealth Games. So it's nice to establish the trends before we get the 17-18 data, hopefully, to see whether these trends are continuing on. Earlier today, I was looking at what used to be published. Queensland Rail used to put out load surveys. I had a look at the 2009...
What are load surveys? How many people? Is that just what that means?
Yeah, all the station. It was a 50-page report, would you believe, Kelly? Exquisite detail in terms of the stations, and everyone knew exactly what was happening on the network. Now, we haven't had that for some time. We get total aggregate figures. That's all we get. We get the monthly TransLink performance snapshot. It has some data in it, which is useful, but it doesn't have detail. The TransLink tracker really is an amalgamation of three monthly performance snapshots. Again, it's not much detail, really.
So do you feel that data doesn't give someone like you, who's very interested in this, a true picture of what's happening on the network?
No, it doesn't. And we've demonstrated that with the data that we've attained over that five-year period. It's certainly given us some insights that have been missing, I think, from the public domain. We'd like to think that TransLink could actually publish line patronage and bus route and ferry route patronage on a yearly basis, make it accessible. Other states do this. I think it's really disappointing that we have to RTI pay money to get patronage data, which used to be freely available and is available in other states. It seems a little bit incongruous to us.
What do you think is, because some of those lines are doing really, really well, others aren't. So with that, what do you think is the driver for patronage being down on some lines? You mentioned that that not a lot of money had been put into the Ipswich line, for example. What are some other factors?
Okay, well, we'll have a look. Now, the remember we had a very long run of sustained high fare increases. Right? The new fare system was brought in December 2016, and that's been very successful. But we think one of the things that's driven loss of patronage, particularly from years 12, 13, before the new fare system, December 2006, was the fares themselves. They were going up 15% year on year out. And when the paper periodical tickets went, some of the fares that people were paying were jumping up in hundreds of percent, if you recall. So that's obviously been a factor. The general poor frequency of service for rail, particularly out of peak, and latterly impacted by rail fail, reduction in services, has obviously had an impact. Problems with the bus networks particularly. A lot of the buses are getting caught up in traffic and they're missing connections. It's leading to follow-on cancellations, and that's not good. And the other thing you mentioned, Kelly, parking.
Yep.
A lot of the park and ride's saturated. Unless you get there at 6:30 in the morning, even earlier, you won't get a park.
Oh, you've got no hope. But even in surrounding streets, I'm there at 8. That's way too late. That's for this doing drive. 8 o'clock in the morning is, you're out, you're done. So, and that's surrounding streets, unless I want to walk, okay, which I probably should, but if you don't, you're not going you're not getting anywhere near them, those train stations.
Right. And that's why we need to look at our feeder bus networks. Yep. They need to be improved. People need to be able to get basically from the suburbs to the stations and back reliably. The buses need to run early, and they need to finish reasonably late so people can rely on them. And if those things are done, I think we can drive the patronage.
All right. Robert Dow, I just need to go to Matt Longland, who's from TransLink. Matt, good evening.
Good evening, Kelly.
So what do you think of those figures? Bus and ferry patronage dropping 6% in a five-year period. Does that surprise you?
Look, I think you pointed out, Kelly, earlier, the data that Robert's working from is now more than 12 months old. And what we have seen, and look, to be honest, the data is the data. And over that five-year period, there has been a patronage dip across southeast Queensland. That's not a secret. We regularly publish data. We publish it every month. And we also roll it up in our TransLink tracker every quarter. What we have seen in the last 12 months, in 2017-18, is very strong growth across the network. So we've seen almost 5.5 million extra trips across Southeast Queensland. Every mode has grown: bus, rail, ferry and light rail. So what we're seeing, and I think Robert picked up earlier, the importance of the Fair Affairs package, which we rolled out in December of 2016, more customers than ever are using public transport in Southeast Queensland.
Is there a false spike in those figures from the Commonwealth Games?
Look, I'm glad you asked that. The Commonwealth Games and any other event that we operate, whether it's a concert or a sporting event, where we have free travel, where that travel is included with a ticket, is not counted in our patronage. So the only data that we count for our patronage data is data coming out of people paying for their public transport trip. So what you see last year in the full year 2017-18 is growth of about 5.4 million was the growth based on the previous year, 2016-17. And then on top of that, we've got over 5 million trips that were made during that Commonwealth Games period that aren't included in that number.
You're talking about 5 million, but Robert was talking percentages. Can you give me that 5.5 million trips as a percentage so I'm comparing apples and apples?
So, no problem. So the full year patronage in 2017-18 was 182.83 million, and that grew from 177.42 million the year before, which represented 3.1% growth. That's across every mode across Southeast Queensland. And then breaking that down by mode, the bus network grew by just over 2 million passengers, and that was a 1.8% increase up to 113 million. Rail grew by 1.72 million passengers, so 52.73 million. Ferry grew by 150,000 passengers to 6.87 million. And light rail grew by 1.5 million passengers to 9.49 million.
Okay, so I'm going to have to go back and do those figures because my maths isn't that good, unfortunately, that I can do that in my head.
But while the percentages vary, I think the pattern that we're seeing is that through the investment in new services and new infrastructure, as well as the implementation of Fair Affairs, we are seeing growth in every part of the network.
Is it a problem to release the data that Robert is talking about publicly, just to have it there? You're releasing other data. Why not just give it all publicly?
Look, we and I know Robert just mentioned about potentially releasing that annually. There is quite a lot of work involved in breaking down patronage data by line, particularly for the rail network, because stations actually serve a number of different lines, some of our inner stations. We also have customers that transfer between services at the same station. So the data that we provided, which you mentioned earlier that we had to, well, I think Robert mentioned he had to pay for that. The data was provided to Robert and his group for free. We did all of that analysis for him. We provided that data, and I understand that we're also doing a similar process for the 2017-18 data. So to be honest, no other jurisdiction I'm aware of in Australia publishes patronage data at the level that Robert's asked for. There's a lot of analysis that's involved in doing that. We have never had anybody else request it other than Robert. And as I said, it's been provided to Robert for free. So, you know, we will look at whether there's broader need to provide that level of data, but we'll have a look at that over time.
Matt Longwood, just finally, I'm surprised you don't have that level of drill down on exactly what's happening at every station and every line, given that that's TransLink's bread and butter, pretty much. Surely that is the detail you'd need to go into to know what's working and what isn't.
Look, we do have that data, and the data operates off the go-card system. So any of our, whether they're on-board validators on the buses and ferries or whether they're at the platforms on light rail and heavy rail, we do track everybody that touches on and touches off and people that are travelling on single paper tickets. On the rail network, it's a little challenging at times in that customers can transfer at stations and continue their trip without touching on or off. They basically continue that same journey. So you need to, the system needs to match up a particular go-card from one line that might have transferred to another line and assign those trips to the correct lines. The other point I made earlier is that for some of our stations, particularly the inner city stations, they might serve four or five or six different rail lines. So it's actually very difficult for a customer that might be boarding at Roma Street or Central or the Fortitude Valley Station to understand what line they're actually being counted on. And that, you know, we do have the data and we've actually provided that to Robert, but it takes our analysts a long time to work through that process. We publish our data on the 10th day of every month,
Mm-hmm.
So we basically, 10 days later, we provide the data from the month before. If we were to do that level of analysis, it would take obviously a lot of resources internally to work through that process, but it would also mean that we wouldn't be providing the data as in a timely way.
Matt Longland, thank you very much for talking with us this afternoon.
Thanks, Kelly.
Matt Longland from TransLink. Robert, can I ask you, did you get that information for free?
No, we had to pay $49.70, which is the application fee plus GST.
All right, so you weren't charged anything else but time or effort?
We weren't charged any access or processing fees because we've actually applied for financial hardship from the Office of Information Commissioner. We were granted that. We're exempt from access and processing fees, which is a small benefit. But really, you know, why should we be paying $50 for data that they have? The other point is we weren't given line data. We were given station entries and exits only, which is why we've only broken up into sections of lines, and we've looked at the inner northern, the inner core and so forth, because we realise the complexities of the overlapping lines, as Mr. Longman described. And so all we really want is the station entries or the trips at each station and the bus route patronage. Now, that's very easy to provide because it's quite discreet as opposed to rail and so the ferry patronage. There is no reason why they cannot publish that routinely. It's available. Even Mr. Longman said they've got the data.
Yes, he did.
The complex data, which is the origin destination data, to give you an idea of how big a monthly file is of that. It's actually a CSV file, but it has over 500,000 lines. Now, how can us or any human really process that? We can't. Okay, so that's why we're just simply asking for station entries to be published regularly and bus, ferry and light rail patronage to be published as well. There's no problem with the bus, ferry and tram. There are complications with the rail, which is why I've just simply suggested they just publish the station entry.
Yep. Robert Dow, thank you very much. So that's Robert Dow from Rail Back on Track, and you also heard Matt Longland from TransLink talking about those patronage figures.